Hi, Michael. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm Shannon Shepherd, as you know.
Yes. Hi, Shannon.
Thank you for agreeing to meet with me and do this interview.
Well, you're welcome.
Currently a student at Western Carolina, getting my master's degree, and I am interviewing an expert in an industry that I want to go in. I consider your organization a forerunner and you to be an expert. So I just want to ask you a question.
You're welcome. All right. Yes. Yes. I'm honored, so let's go for it.
Can you tell me how this works, this rescue mission, and what a typical day is like?
Yeah, you know, the rescue mission, we've been around for 38 years, the Western Carolina Rescue Ministries. We house the homeless, but we do a whole lot more than that. We are the largest emergency shelter in all of Western North Carolina. We house men, women, and children every day, anywhere from 140 to 170 men, women, and children. We feed 800 plus meals a day to any and everyone who comes seeking a hot meal. We serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 5 days a week, and on Saturday and Sunday, we will serve breakfast and dinner. There are other community partners that do weekend lunches, and so we actually encourage people to go in that direction. We give away 400 to 600 articles of clothing every week to people. We have two long-term drug and alcohol recovery programs. We have a 12-month residential program for men. That's a very intense but highly successful recovery program dealing with men that that have addiction and of all sorts of addictions in that area. Our success rate really quadruples any secular success rate out in the country. And then we have a program called Abba's House, which is for women and children. It's the first of its kind in the country. We started it about 18 months ago. And that recovery program concentrates on women that have an opioid or heroin or meth addiction. The whole premise is for them to be able to go through recovery and heal while parenting their child in a very safe home-like atmosphere. I have a phenomenal staff that does that. We job train. We have a lot of people that are working within our programs here, but we help employers connect with people. We have 78% of the people who stay in our overnight shelter are working every day, are either in school. Mm-hmm. So we're very successful in our way of being able to what I call, it's not program people, but it's really how we love people. People ask me all the time how many case managers I have. I don't have any case managers. We all have love managers. And that's what we get to do. We get to love on people. And so our approach is different because our goal is that we want to see people healthy and healed. And once we can help stabilize them and move them in the right direction, we really don't want to see them again. So we don't want them coming back.
Yeah.
And so we're going to put all the energy into helping people to be successful.
What happens when a person is homeless and they come by the rescue mission? What's the criteria to be able to stay?
Okay, great. Well, if someone comes and they'll come to our front desk and they'll try to get a bed, that's normally the first point of entry for everyone. And if there's a bed available, they're given a bed and they can stay in that bed for three nights. This is called our Joshua plan.
Okay.
And so what happens during that 3 night stay, they are encouraged to sit down with one of our rescue directors. Our rescue directors will sit down with them during that 3 days or 3 nights and actually help them build a plan. And so we want to find out everything we can about them, find out their skill set, find out what's going on with them, find out what's going to be the thing that's going to help them to stabilize and move forward. So if they're willing to submit and put a plan together, the plan will actually determine their length of stay. Now, for us, a plan has to be in writing, has to have measurable goals, and it has to be something that we can hold you accountable to. Once they do the plan, then they have a bed and they're able to stay past that 3 days. If they decide not to do the plan, we're perfectly fine with that. After 3 days, then they have to leave. They are not eligible to come back and to try for a bed again for 30 days. So on the streets, it's known as the 3 and 30 plan. We call it the Joshua plan. So while they're doing the plan each week, they sit down with the rescue director for a 15-minute checkup. Our rescue directors start at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they work on weekends. Okay. And so we work around everybody's schedule to make sure that they're planned out. Everyone, we believe everyone has value. So we believe that every person that comes here has value, has something to give. And so we require as a part of their plan some volunteer hours so that they can give back, whether they volunteer here at our organization or we have 4 or 5 other nonprofits that have agreed to take help. And so we have people volunteering, but they have to give back each week. They have a volunteer requirement. If they don't fulfill that volunteer requirement, that's a part of your plan. And if you're not fulfilling that part of your plan, then you're out and you can't come back for again 30 days. Mm-hmm. So that's what a typical thing looks like. Everybody here is on a plan almost. And that's why we have such a high rate of people that are working, because once we get people in and we're holding them accountable, in that accountability, when they're working their plan, if they're working a job or anything else, they're saving money. And their employers love it because they know that they had a good night's sleep the night before, they had a good meal, and they weren't out drinking, because we breathalyze everyone when they come through the door.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
what attracted you to this industry?
Oh, wow. I'm not even sure how I was attracted to the industry as much as I love people. And growing up, there was a period of time where me and my mom was homeless and transitioning. And my mom was in an abusive relationship. So I grew up very angry, and I knew what it's like to live in poverty and to not have much. Mm-hmm. I went to college, and my motivation was to make as much money as I can to live in the biggest house I can so that I could have choices. And that was to me, I wanted money so I could have choices, so I could choose what I wanted to eat, choose where I wanted to go. And what happened for me is that the thing that excites me the most is to see someone have a life change. And that's always been that piece of me. So when God began to speak to me about moving from Tennessee and moving my family and coming here to Asheville, we were involved in a lot of different things in Tennessee. But coming here, I was attracted to love on people that nobody else wanted to love on. Mm-hmm. And so I started a ministry on the streets. I just started loving on people and sharing and talking, because I'm one that I believe the Bible, but I believe what the Bible says, and I want to see it in action. And so I'm a doer from that standpoint. So that was my attraction. And then being here, all my skill sets and my education and everything I've learned over the years kind of just all came together, and it fits here for us to continue to move forward.
Wow. That's awesome. Also, I wanted to ask, how did the Western Carolina Rescue Mission get started?
Okay.
And what is its mission?
So, it got started back in the early 1980s. I think it was around 1980 when a group of downtown businessmen came together and they saw a need to have a shelter in this city. Mainly at that time, it was a shelter to house men who were homeless and alcoholics on the street. And so those brave men stepped out, purchased this property here. Actually, they ended up signing personally for the debt of the property. And it began to have a shelter. They ended up hiring the first directors there, which were the Mays, and it started, and they started the process. It's evolved a lot from there. I'm grateful for those men and their bravery on doing that. I'm not sure they had foresight in the seed where we were today, but I know God actually saw that there. Our mission has really stayed the same. Our mission is to do rescue, recovery, and restoration in Jesus' name. I mean, we believe that if we love people the way that God has called us to love them, not to a place of judgment, that our job is to love people. And we want to see them, we want to meet them at their rescue need, and love them right there. But we want to help restore them and want to love them right there. And if there needs to be recovery, we want to love them right there. So rescue, recovery, and restoration in Jesus' name.
I am wanting to start a similar business, as you know. My okay. business name is Beauty for Ashes.
Okay.
Because I believe, you know, in the verse where it says all things can be made beautiful in
yes,
Christ.
Yes.
It just depends on how you look at it and what you deem to be valuable.
No question.
And so with someone like me trying to start into the business, what is some advice you would give me?
You know, I think you, the first thing that you have to have tough skin. Because you're gonna see doors close at every step. Everyone is grateful for what we do, but nobody wants us near them. You know,
right.
Everybody's glad that we're actually here, and for us to do the services that we actually do. But again, you know, I have people all the time who talk about the value of this property is so much more valuable, and there's better use of this property, whether they're politicians, city officials, business owners, developers, realtors. I hear it all the time. But they are valuing it from one area. So when they ask me my value and I give them my value and justify my value, then they think I'm asking too much for it. And so I value it based on the lives that we're able to touch and where we are, and the ability of what we're able to do. If they can find me a location to be able that we could do the exact same thing in the downtown area and get everything up and done and give me the amount of square footage we have here, you know, I would consider moving, but nobody wants us beside us. So for you, my thing would be, you know, the funding aspect of it is tough. I mean, we don't take any federal or state funding, and we're one of the few nonprofit organizations that do anything in homelessness in Western North Carolina that does not take any federal or state funding. Matter of fact, I think we're maybe the only one in the Buncombe County area that's not taking any. That type of funding has a lot of strings attached to it. And that's our reason for not taking it. We don't want to be dictated to. We believe that that we can do what we can do and do it the way we're supposed to do it by making sure that we can individualize it per person when they come in, because everybody's situation is different. And we just believe that we want to love people. And so we don't want any strings attached to that. So then the third thing that I would tell you, that I've talked to you about having tough skin and understanding that you're going to have to figure out your funding sources, how you want to do it, whether or not you're going to create just a straight shelter and use donations, or you're going to have a recovery program where maybe you can do private insurance, or maybe even a transitional type halfway house where you have the individuals, now you have them working and they're paying a stipend. You know, those are different funding ways that I've seen all throughout the country. But then the third thing that I would tell you is this, is that you have to create support around you. And I'm talking about this. This is as critical as as any component of this. If you're going to run an organization, you need a board. As a nonprofit owner, you are director of a nonprofit organization. You have to have a board of directors. Your board of directors have to be able to have your heart, all right? And they have to be able to flow. Vision needs to flow from you. This is not a democracy, it's a theocracy. And so people need to understand that. But you have to have people who are like-minded around you. You have to have spousal support. I mean, that is so critical, because this isn't a 9-to-5 job. Right. You know, this has to become a part of who you are. And so there has to be agreement for that piece to work there. And you got to have people who literally got your back from every aspect. And probably some of the most valuable people to me for what I do are the people who I know that are interceding for me on a daily basis, and people that I can relate to, along with my spiritual leadership that I continue to talk with and everything there. And so, because it becomes very lonely, mm-hmm. it becomes very hard, and it's very hard. And without that, you'll go through burnouts, and you'll be ready to throw in the towel. And because there's a lot of different things that'll make you want to quit, but you got to know that you know.
Right. With that being said, it sounds like, or it doesn't sound like, I know you have a lot of wisdom because you've been around a long time in this business. So I would like to ask you if you would be willing to mentor me as I bring Beauty for Ashes.
It would be an honor. It would be an honor of mine. I'll tell you, I'll tell you this. I'm not the type of person that would just pat you on the back and send you. I'm going to challenge you to think through things further. You know, there's a lot of people that want to do things because they think it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Or they think of, you know, but then there's that thing that I'm going to challenge you and say, you know, is this really keeping you up at night? You know, I mean, you may think this is what you want to do, but maybe there's a variation that you're really better at over here, and to try to hone you in on that, because it's costly. Mm-hmm. You know, you're to give your life to something, and so it would be an honor to help deposit whatever I can and be able to help you on your way, and to help you establish. But it's also going to be challenging for you. And so if you're willing to take it all, I will be glad to step in there.
Great. I can't wait to get started. And those were all my questions that I had for you. Okay. I just want to thank you again for allowing me to come and get some knowledge from you on this business.
Well, you are welcome, and I'm glad to be a part. Thank you so much.
Thank you.